Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 8, Green Hornet shifts up to Boston.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
This is Anvil.
Blavonic once again out of the picture.
Yeah, another week.
He got sick. The strange thing is, he keeps saying it was your fault.
Yeah, but when I talked to him earlier, I explained the differences in what, you know, we each had, and he understands now.
Hopefully. Because if he had been right, then I would have gotten sick too.
Yes. I only had a stomach bug, nothing big. He actually has a true cold, so.
Hopefully he'll feel better pretty soon. Quit looking at your phone.
Hey, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Well, anyway, I figured the first thing we could talk about is the new Green Hornet movie, because you and I just went and saw that last night.
Yes.
Has Seth Rogen. It was co-written by him and Evan Goldberg, who also penned Pineapple Express, and directed by one of my favorite directors, Michel Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Silence of Sleep, and Be Kind, Rewind. You're not a fan of his?
No.
Well, he...
I didn't care for any of those movies, truly.
Well, he's also a very well-known music video director. He's the one who did the Lego video for The White Stripes Fell in Love with the Girl.
You're not winning me over.
I'm not?
No, I didn't like that.
Come on, that video was cool!
In your opinion.
Well, because I grew up on Legos.
So did I.
So.
I used to build them and say there's King Kong and crush everything.
I used to build Grateful Dead concerts out of mine. No lie, I did that once. But it had Seth Rogen, and Jake Chow, who was in the initial D movie as Kato, and it had, what was his name? Christoph Waltz as Chudovsky, the main villain of the film.
Yes.
And the premise of the film is the Green Hornet, before he becomes the Green Hornet, Brent, right?
Brit.
Brit. His father, who owns the Sentinel, which is the only family-owned newspaper that's still around in this movie, that is. Is that like owned by some company like New York Times or...
Yeah, it's not a conglomerate.
Right.
It's still independently family-owned.
Yeah. And it was the one paper that was just still about getting the truth out. Because you saw people that would come into these other newspapers and it would be people from like the mayor's office and mafia people and paying the writers and the publishers to not post these stories so they look better.
And the district attorney, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want to, you know, give a spoiler on this.
Right.
But don't trust the district attorney. Well, actually, if you grew up in my neighborhood, you wouldn't trust the district attorney anyway.
So, Britt's father dies, leaving him with ownership of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
He starts out just... I'm trying to think of the way to how he first came up with the idea. He was pissed off at his father because of the way he treated him when he was a kid.
Yes.
And so was Kato because of the way the father treated him.
Yes.
So they started out by doing a prank, which was stealing his father's head.
The head of the brass statue.
Brass statue.
Bronze, sorry.
And while they were doing that, they noticed someone was getting mugged. So they went out and got saved. Well, they went out and saved them.
Yep.
And by doing that, they managed to be caught on camera. And people thought that they were the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they come up with the idea is, what if we pose as the good guys so we get closer to the good guys? And then we can take down... No, what if we...
Pose as the bad guys. So we get closer to the bad guys, and then, you know, we're really the good guys.
Right. They pimp out the... What kind of car was that in that in this movie, anyway? You don't remember either?
You're asking me? I was falling asleep during the movie.
Oh. They take down meth labs, they send their calling card trying to get to the big guys,
yeah.
All to find out who's really all behind all this stuff. So, well, first off, as you can tell from Anvil's previous statement, this movie was okay.
Yes.
Let's first focus on the acting. Seth Rogen is known for doing an awesome job with comedy.
Yes.
In this one, he seemed kind of flat. It felt better seeing him do all the serious stuff than the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because the last film we saw him in was in Funny People, and he did a great job of being serious in that film.
Maybe.
But, I don't know, just something about him playing the character didn't register to me as well.
Yeah. Now, Kato, that's a different story.
Jay Chou, what a great job he did with this. Bruce Lee would be happy with the way that he portrayed Kato. And it's interesting, too, because there's a scene where he's showing off all the different sketches, and there's a sketch of Bruce Lee. Yes. On top of that, throughout the film, Jay Chou will actually do the famous moves that Bruce Lee did. Like, you see him do, like, the hand out. He puts the hand on the
sternum.
He puts the hand on the sternum and punches him through a wall. That was a famous move done by Bruce Lee.
Yes. So he's paying homage to... Bruce Lee in this movie.
Yeah, and he does a great job with it.
Yes, Bruce Lee would have been extremely happy, because I know I was.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Diaz was also in this movie, and she was very underutilized.
Agreed.
They could have taken somebody up and coming and just given the small spot, but no, they had to use the ever-aging Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. Yeah, you made the point where you think that she used Botox.
Yeah, because she just doesn't look the same, and she probably got a nose job. Yeah, but she used to look good back in the days of The Mask and Something About Mary, but then she just started to lose it.
I think it was right after The Sweetest Thing. That's the one where they go on a road trip so she can find... Oh, you never saw it? Okay. Never mind then. And then we've got Christoph Waltz, Academy Award winner Christoph Waltz, who you might remember as the Jew Hunter in Inglourious Basterds. He was also... very underused in this movie.
Yes. So, I mean, they bring in big names, but didn't fully use them to their potential.
Right.
This movie had the potential to be so much better, but they didn't do it.
Yes. Now, the weapons, on the other hand.
Well, one weapon was awesome, and the rest of them...
you've seen before.
Yeah. I mean, the gas gun, been done before.
Yeah, but I think that was one of the few funny moments in the whole film.
Yeah. how long have I been out for? Oh, it's something like, I've been out for a few hours?
Thursday.
I've been out for 4 days? No, I've been out for 11.
Then 11. How did you build 3 cars in 3 days? 11. Here, I utilized it now, so it'll only knock you out for an hour. Oh, let me see that. Boom.
See you in an hour.
I still would love to have seen... Kevin Smith's vision of the Green Hornet, because he, for years, had been talking about writing the film for this, but then he left the project because it just was at a standstill.
Exactly, and they should have kept him, because I think he could have saved this movie.
Yeah. Now, granted, I know his last film, Cop Out, was kind of not up to par with his last few movies.
But it was funny, though.
It was funny, yes. But it didn't lack the sort of Kevin Smith charm, you know. It didn't have the Dante and Randall. It didn't have, like, your Jay and Silent Bob moments in it.
But that's not, you know, what it was supposed to be, though. That was the thing.
Yeah, it was like more of a shout-out to old 1980s buddy cop films.
Yeah, and that's what it was supposed to be, and that's why I think I enjoyed it.
Okay. But with the Green Hornet, like, okay, there were some things they did cleverly. Like, not to spoil anything too much, but there's a moment where Britt gets shot in the shoulder. And the way they handle this, how they cover it up, is just unbelievably funny.
Yes.
Now, one other thing that I noticed, it might be spoiling something. The cloaking device at the end.
Yes.
Does that exist?
No.
Then, okay. Then how would that be plausible in real life?
This is a guy that creates things. So, to them, it's possible. Remember, this guy that makes a special machine that makes special coffee.
Right.
He built 3 cars in 11 days.
Yeah. Good point.
It's supposed to be, you know, what if. Because remember, Green Hornet was a comic book and everything.
Well, it started out as a radio series in the 1930s. Then became a TV show. Then a comic series. And now this movie.
So, they're going back to the days of what if and pure fantasy.
Right.
Wouldn't it be cool if cars had cloaking devices?
Yes. Will it happen within the next 10 years?
Probably not.
We're still waiting for our hoverboards from Back to the Future 2. Which, that year where they do go into the future, is coming up on us.
What year was that?
I believe it was 2014.
Oh, I'm a little nervous. We're not supposed to live that long.
Well, according to Back to the Future Part 2, we are.
Well, I like Part 2 better than the movie 2012.
Well, yeah. Well, that's one of those movies where the skeptics... The Mayans just ran out of room on a calendar. That's what happened.
Yeah, but there's a dude from Mayan time that said that the world isn't going to end in 2012, so...
Yeah.
He said that, you know, people are just misreading it.
And then there's this whole thing about the Capricorn and the zodiac sign being changed, but that's all bullshit that I don't want to touch.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
But good, let's get back onto the Green Hornet. Like, okay, for first try for a movie... They got some things right, and they got some things wrong. And there were quite a few dry moments. So many that I actually had to wake Anvil up a couple times.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
No.
You wouldn't even wake up from a poke of the stick, man.
That movie was fantastic. I didn't sleep.
Yes, you did. I was leaning... I was looking over to you just to make sure you were still awake, and you were going...
You poked me once. I had just closed my eyes. I wasn't even asleep yet.
Oh, okay.
So, couldn't even get a snore out.
And, you know, I have to give it up to the actual moviegoers. I thought they were going to be all annoying as fuck because they were all rowdy teenagers, but they kept it pretty cool.
I know, I was surprised because I usually have to yell at them because they won't shut the fuck up. And, you know, then you get one little tough kid that usually sits there, I kick your ass, bring it, punk! Will you, like, come up to my kneecap? I'll step on you! Holy shit, you're a monster! I know! They made a movie about me, it's called Hannibal! I'll eat your brain!
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so, for me, with this film, The Green Hornet, it was okay, it was decent. Yeah. I'll give it like a 2.5 out of 5. Because I felt like half of it they got right and half of it they got wrong.
Alright, yeah, I do agree with you on that. I'll drop it a little bit though to 2.3.
Really?
Yes.
So
I think they got more wrong than right.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what were some things in this movie you felt should have been better?
They should have utilized people more.
Yep.
The storyline could have flowed a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have reduced some of those dry moments by adding to it. Because, I mean, I'm sorry, but they were sitting there talking about the coffee. That scene was so dry.
Yeah.
That I think if they poured the Atlantic Ocean on it, it would just suck it up and still be dry.
I do admit, though, it does remind me of the coffee over at this place that I go to in Salem called Yahoo. It reminds me, it looks just like the coffee that they serve there.
Well, I mean, it is what it is with that, but I mean...
No, it literally has the same leaves.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they could have made that scene a little bit better.
Yeah.
So.
And instead, sadly, it didn't do so well.
Yeah.
Alright, so Green Hornet's been put in the back burner. Let's move on to sports. We are currently watching the Bruins take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Right now,
we're down by a goal. 50 seconds left. We pulled our net. See if we can pull off a score here.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Alright, hold on. Alright, so let me jump in. The Bruins, they won two games this week. One was a 6-0 shutout. Tim Thomas got the league-leading 6th shutout.
Yep.
And Patrice Bergeron has his first career hat trick. Good for him. I'm very happy. Bergeron has come a long way, especially where he had a severe concussion about 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how this one pulls out.
I'm kind of not holding my breath right now for there to be a good ending to this one.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens.
I mean, we just saw Mark Savard get hit again in the head.
And then we also watched a guy take a stick to the face who was out.
Oh, and that was brutal.
Yeah,
like, he was like, literally...
Yeah, Camperman, so, I mean, we'll see what happens with him.
Mm-hmm. Drenched in blood right there.
Yes. So, I mean, that is what it is. As soon as this game's over, we'll let you guys know how that went.
Yep.
The Celtics, they won last night. Very good game. I enjoyed myself. They've been playing a lot better. I'm hoping to see Kevin Garnett come back with the next day or two.
Because
his leg's finally getting better, which is a good thing.
Yep.
But now we have another wild card weekend's over, which was last week, and we saw some good games, some bad games, and some ugly games.
Yeah.
We saw the Jets kick a last second field goal to beat Indy.
Yeah, I felt so bad for the Colts.
I know. But it's one of those, who do you really want to see at the end, you know?
Yeah. Because the issue with that is, with us killing the Jets the last time we met, I have a feeling that they're going to, like, not hold anything back from us. They are going to play the main.
Yeah. But then, you know, the one game that I really enjoyed watching happened to be the defending Super Bowl champion... New Orleans Saints took on the Seattle Seahawks, who somehow made it to the playoffs, worst record of any team to ever make it in, and lose. Seattle is now the worst team to ever win a playoff game.
Wow.
They're going to be playing the Chicago Bears, a team that they actually beat early on in the season.
So this could be interesting.
This could, because a horrible team could be going to the NFC Championship game.
You imagine if it's the Patriots versus the Seahawks?
I don't know how... I mean, we've done it before, but damn.
That would just be... Wow. I know I love the Pats, but go for the little guy. No, not like go... Like, yeah, go little guy for getting so far, but... Well,
Wes Welker, Deion Branch, you know, those little guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are little guys that I'm going to root for.
Yeah. But... No, what I meant is, like, Seahawks, yeah, let's just see them give it their all, even though I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl championship. If they do, though, that would just be an interesting sight to see. And we just lost against the Pittsburgh Penguins. There goes our winning streak.
So, okay. In this weekend's action, we're going to see the Baltimore Ravens take on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
We're going to see the Atlanta Falcons take on the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Seahawks take on the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And the cap-off football weekend, we're going to see the New England Patriots take on the New York Jets.
Right.
It's going to make some really good football.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to really enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I've got my predictions. I'm taking the Ravens over Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to give... Atlanta over Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm going to root for Seattle over Chicago.
Okay.
And I am taking...
Patriots over the Jets.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, Patriots over the Jets. I had to scare you for there for a second, Doc. I had to scare you.
Right.
Oh, my God, my shoes are off. Oh, no.
What?
Rex Ryan might show up and try to lick my feet or something.
What?
Oh, Rex Ryan's got that foot fetish.
He does?
You didn't hear?
No.
Him and his wife made foot smut videos.
What the fuck?
Where have you been? It's been everywhere. It was on the news, it was in the newspapers, everything.
Holy shit!
On the front page of the Metro this week, they had a picture of Bryce
Harper. That's what that meant!
With all the feet around
it. I didn't get a chance to read that, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know he had such a...
Yeah. I heard he goes around the locker room and licks all of his players' feet after win. Good job. Mm.
Oh,
Mark Sanchez, your foot is so delicious.
Oh.
Come back to my office.
Can you imagine getting athlete's foot on your tongue?
Mr. Ryan, you have athlete's foot. We understand how you got it. Here's some cream.
I can't eat this, though.
Well, you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Unless you want to listen, John Madden needs some tough acting to enact it. Spray it on your tongue and laugh.
Boom!
Boom. Tough acting to enact it for your tongue.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan edition.
I mean, how do these videos come to light?
I don't know where they came from, but yeah, they're there.
And who is so fucking retarded to actually film it?
His wife. They're with his wife. They're like in a car and everything.
But this is what I don't understand, is why they would show it to people. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, there are some fetishes I don't understand. There's some I do understand. But how is it that you can be a top coach like this and not think you're not going to get caught?
I don't know. I mean, it's a fetish. It's not like he's committing a crime.
Right.
No, he's just into weird things. I mean, just because we're not into feet doesn't mean, you know, people aren't.
Right.
So, to his own.
True. Why do famous people think they can get away with anything?
I don't know.
Like Charlie Sheen. Put the liquor in the closet.
Yeah. Well, they named the two coaches for the new Tough Enough or Ultimate Fighter.
Tough Enough was the WWF show.
Well, no, WWE. Tough Enough is another name for it, but the Ultimate Fighter TV show. It's going to be Junior Dos Santos.
Okay.
And Brock Lesnar.
What?
Who, of course, the two of them will fight each other at the end.
Yeah.
The winner will be the number one contender for the title again.
Okay.
Against Cain Velasquez.
But this is the thing. Last week we were talking about how Brock Lesnar didn't have enough fighting under his belt to be considered a coach. He's good with the wrestling, no doubt about that. But everything else?
Yeah. I mean, I told you, you know, I thought he could do it. But I thought Frank Mir.
You thought Frank Mir?
That's what I said last week. If you guys, if you recall, I said I thought it was going to be Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir. They gave it to Dos Santos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is.
So that should be interesting. But I have a feeling that Dos Santos, right? That's how you say it?
Yep.
Dos Santos, his team is going to be a lot better off than Lesnar's because he's got too much under his belt.
Well, see, do you know what it is? Neither team is at an advantage. You have two heavyweight fighters teaching welterweights. That's the big change, you know?
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. I'm all set.
All right. Yeah, that not a lot in sports.
No, there hasn't been too much.
Because wasn't there like a Strike Force recently, too? Or
that's coming up.
That's coming up. That's what I'm thinking of. All right, so I got to try out a few video games this past week. One of them is going to be up on the Electric Sisterhood website as a full review, but I figured I'd touch on it on B3. And this one is called Ilo Milo. And the premise of this game is you have to reunite these two characters, Ilo and Milo, and collect small creatures to unlock levels and objects to reveal hidden backstories about why these two keep getting separated. And you use other creatures known as cubes to get to destinations on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be like a cube that'll just be a regular cube. There'll be a cube that can stretch out long so it could be like a bridge. There'll be one that could actually be adjust itself so you can go underneath the map. One will act as a trap door.
Mm-hmm.
This was the game that Alex from Gamer Reaction was talking about on the Best of 2010 show.
Oh, okay.
And he was raving money when he was talking about Little Big Planet and comparing it to it.
Okay.
Because the graphics in this game are just unbelievable.
Hmm.
In fact, it reminds me so much of not just Little Big Planet, but of... I know you've never seen any of this guy's films, but Hayao Miyazaki. the guy who did Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo, anime director.
Great movies.
You've never seen them, have you?
Not even have a clue, but well, I figured why not. Your face hit the floor for a second there.
Yes.
You're like, what? Oh, he's messing with me.
But anyone who knows Miyazaki, his style of storytelling and characters are, like, out there. They're artsy. He creates characters that have never been thought up of before. And this is what Milo has done. These are characters that, while they're in a similar situation, their outward appearance is, like, unlike anything I've ever seen in a video game. It even kind of looks like it's been stitched together. They look like dolls coming to life.
Yeah.
And what's good about the game, too, is the controls are easy to move around. You can switch between the characters, pick up objects. You can be either 3 or 103, and you can play this game without any problem whatsoever.
Well, what if they're 104?
That, too.
Well, no, you cut it off at 103.
Well, I'm just making a point. You can have a 100-year difference. Like, anyone can get into this game. Like, this game was unbelievably good. And, yeah, it'll take you about 5 hours to beat. But for a $10 game, that's not bad. When you think of games like Kane & Lynch 2 Dead Men, which costs $60 and lasts only 4 hours... You know, $10 for a 5-hour game is a much better deal.
Yeah.
And there's 49 levels, and that doesn't even count the bonus levels that you can help unlock by collecting enough creatures in the film, in the video game. And I just love the story in it. This could be made into a great family film if done right. And I especially love the side stories about the Huntsman, who seems to be a hidden backstory to one of the characters. And there's another backstory of two human characters that have similar names to Ilo and Milo. So either these human characters are symbolic to Ilo and Milo, or Ilo and Milo are symbolic to these two human characters.
Mm-hmm.
It just came out last week officially. It's also on the new Windows Phone, and I believe that's actually the free version.
Okay.
And I already can just predict that this is going to be one of this year's best Xbox Live arcade games. So I give it a 4.8 out of 5. It's loads of fun for all ages, and I cross my fingers that there will be a sequel in the near future.
Hmm.
Next game I got to try out was called Rascals. It's a platformer game. I'm not sure if you've ever played a game called Mr. Driller.
No.
Well, Mr. Driller is a platformer where you basically have to dig down in order to win the game. Like, you gotta race through areas and use the power of digging to get to the finish line.
Okay.
This was kind of like the American take on Mr. Driller. And what I like about Rascals is it's funny as hell. Like in the scene in the beginning, you see these two skull characters saying, just having this conversation. And one skull character goes, "Why do we have to protect these shiny stones? What's so important about them?" And the other character goes, "What's so important about them? They're an important plot line device. That's what's so important about them." So there's a lot of fourth wall breaking in it.
Yeah.
Like, and there'll be like a boss battle where it seems like it starts out with rock, paper, scissors. And like your character like throws like other rock, paper, scissors you can choose. And then you zoom out and see that the other character is carrying a missile guider system. So you gotta, you know, try to escape from them.
Yeah.
There are power-ups to pick up while you play the game, so you can get faster, you can become more powerful, and just so you can get to the end of the finish line quicker. And you can collect what is called frenzies, which is like, think of on Super Mario Brothers when you pick up the star.
Okay.
Just like that. That's what a frenzy is. It's like it's some sort of invincibility with going faster, too. With mm-hmm. your character being able to go faster. The graphics in the game, they're very cartoonish. They're cute looking. And it fits well with what the storyline's going to be. And mm-hmm. how it's going to go. But I do have to say that the gameplay is a bit repetitive. All you really do is run around and dig down. There's really nothing else to the game. It's easy to move around, but it's also not really difficult to misuse your power-ups at the wrong time. Like, you could try to press the dig button. You could accidentally push the power-up button and use one of these power-ups that you need to use before you get to the end of the level.
Okay.
The main game, the Master Quest, takes about 4 hours to play. But the humor in the game makes it worth checking out. And there's also an online mode, so you can race with people across this country. But all of this is racing. There's the same thing you did. There's no, like, cool, funny little mini-games like a beat-em-up or shoot-em-up or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just racing, and there should have been more variety added to it. But having said that, it's still definitely worth checking out. At least download the trial version before buying the full version.
Yeah.
I give it a 3.3 out of 5.
Okay.
Now, there were two demos that came out this week as well. One on Xbox and one on the Wii.
Okay.
I figured let's talk about the Wii one first. The Art of Balance, where you have to balance different shaped blocks on small beams for a total of 3 seconds. And if the blocks hit the water before that, you have to start all over again.
Hmm.
It's kind of like Jenga, sort of.
Okay.
Like, you know how you have to like build you have to build up to a certain amount to make, before it falls to the ground. Kind of sort of like that. But there's not you don't remove pieces. That's the only thing that it's not like.
Hmm.
You just have to keep balance. You know, graphics aren't so great, but the game's not about the look. And the gameplay, like I said, if it's like Jenga, it's not really inventive, but it helps work to bring in order to solve the puzzles. Like, you could do, like, one puzzle this way, you could do one puzzle that way, and
mm-hmm.
try to figure out different ways to put the pieces up and keep them still. It's simple click and grab with the controls, and you can also rotate it. Now, the one thing I didn't like about the rotating is that you use the D-pad on the Wiimote, the actual little control thing on there. I would have liked it better if they had put the Wii Motion Plus into the category.
Okay.
So you would have to rotate it on your own.
Yeah.
So it would add a lot more realism to it. And that kind of took me out of the game for a little bit.
Okay.
But with over 100 levels to go through, there could be a good few hours of gameplay from this. Good teasers, good for working with the mind. I could give it a 3.5 out of 5 for this demo.
Okay.
I just need to really try out the game. I would have to play the full game itself before I could give a full-on review of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm saving the worst for last.
Ooh.
It's called Fairy. Legends of Avalon.
It already sounds horrible.
Yet, and here's what will make it even sound a lot more horrible. It's an RPG.
Oh.
And it's the turnstile RPG. It's not the fun type where you can actually beat people up.
I'm dying. Anvil is now dead. Come to my funeral.
Okay. Wake up.
No, I'm dead.
You're still talking.
I can talk from dead. Jeff Dunham's puppet does it.
Ahmed,
the dead terrorist, yes. All
right. Let me just get through this quickly. Let me just rip the Band-Aid off very quickly.
Band-Aid? Forget it. It sounds like it's duct tape wrapped around your chest.
Yeah. The one, I'll give it to him for the graphics, because the graphics are pretty good. But the controls were bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it took me 10 minutes to figure out how to properly fly around. And it was a pain in the ass to try to actually fight people in this game as well. Like, I wasn't having much fun with it. You know what? I'm too pissed off at this game.
What?
To talk about it even anymore.
But I'm starting to enjoy listening about this game. Makes me want to play it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. Trust me.
I just need 5 gallons of whiskey and a straw.
Okay.
I need the straw to drink the whiskey. 5 gallons is a lot.
I would say avoid the game. I'll give it a 1.7 out of 5. All right. Well, I can maybe add this because I just started playing it today. Epic Mickey.
Edition.
Yes, an addition to what we're going to be... I'm going to do a full review of this, and I just started playing it. I'm about, like, 2 hours into it.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm 3 years into that one. I still haven't beaten it. I'm just kidding.
You're Mickey Mouse in this game. And
I'm Donald Duck.
No, you're not.
How do you know?
Because Donald's not playable in this game.
Good. I only like 7 people playing with me. Duck walked into it. Thank you.
All right. So you are basically dragged into a bizarre world of Disney World. And you've got to actually restore everything back to its original place. Because years ago, Mickey went through this magical mirror and caused some chaos in this map area.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like supposed to be a thing for Walt Disney to place some of his characters in that really didn't work out, but he wanted to keep them safe. Mickey decided to fuck that up accidentally, and the whole world's turned into a cesspool.
Mm-hmm.
Think what would happen if the bubonic plague hit Disney World.
Okay.
It would become deserted, run down, freaks would be running the whole park, and you would have to run for your life if you ever went there. That's basically what you have to do in this game. But you have what is the magic brush, and with that you can either create or destroy. With paint, you can help recreate the world, build bridges, and get things back in order. With paint thinner, you can just destroy shit. And it would depend on on the time of day or where you're at or how you're feeling as to whether or not you want to create or destroy.
Mm-hmm.
You can do either or. And that will actually affect gameplay in some areas. If you destroy, more bad things will happen. If you create, more good things will happen to you. So it will depend on what you decide to do in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the cool things about this game is it features a character that Walt Disney created before Mickey Mouse. Back before he built, you know, his own Walt Disney company, before he went over to RKO Pictures, which is what used to air or show the Walt Disney films in the movies, he worked with Universal Pictures,
mm-hmm.
or Universal Studios. And there, he created Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Now, Walt Disney loved this character and was hoping to continue using him. So, when it came time to renew the contract, Walt Disney asked for more money, basically because he wanted to put more production values into it. He wanted more, a lot better things to be going on for Oswald.
Yes.
But Universal said, no, we're not going to renew your contract. And because we own Oswald, you can't make any more Oswald cartoons. So, he couldn't do that. He made Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse became huge.
The rest is legend.
While Oswald the Lucky Rabbit was faded into obscurity until now. Because a couple of years back, they had gotten Oswald the Lucky Rabbit back from Universal Studios. I forget which person they had to do it. I forget what they had to do. But it involved trading someone from Monday Night Football over to NBC Football. Because you know how it was NBC Universal.
Yep.
That's how they got Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. They traded a real person for a cartoon character.
Which is kind of sad.
Well, considering this is like a lost creation of Walt Disney, and there were so many cartoons that had been made of him that were thought to be lost forever because Universal wouldn't release them, it's kind of sort of a good thing.
Yeah. Not if you're that guy.
Yeah.
Like, well, they traded you and you're getting less money now.
No, I think they're giving him more money.
Hey, my love! No, I'm kidding. Don't go hang yourself.
So.
Maybe.
Alright, so the leader of the Bizarre World is Oswald. And he's trying to have a lot of bad things happen to Mickey as revenge. Because Oswald is technically Mickey's big brother and has been jealous of the fame and fortune that he's been given.
Yes.
So far, the controls in this game are pretty good. Like, it's easy to move the brush around, move Mickey around, and take down these ink blot sprite things. I forget the name of them. But I hate the camera in this game. So far, I do not like how this camera's set up. You have to constantly adjust yourself or adjust the camera to see shit happening.
Yeah.
And this was something that I hated with the Simpsons game on the Wii. You had to keep on adjusting the camera, otherwise you would die. That's what was happening to me in Epic Mickey. I kept on dying because the camera wasn't adjusted properly. But gameplay is still really good. I like how imaginative it is. I like how they brought Mickey into this really dark place. Like, I haven't seen a darker Mickey Mouse since. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, but back in the 1930s, there was a Mickey Mouse comic strip. And there was a Mickey. There was a storyline where Mickey Mouse tried to kill himself.
I wasn't born for like another 50 years, so.
But I was pretty sure you would have seen it like on the internet or something. Like one of your friends was like, "Hey, look at this. This is fucking real. Mickey Mouse is trying to kill himself because his Minnie Mouse isn't with him anymore."
No. But my friends aren't Mickey fans, so I've never seen it.
They were more Woody Woodpecker people, weren't they?
We were more Tasmanian Devil, Yosemite Sam.
Okay. Oh, understandable.
So the tough guys.
Yeah. But I like how this game is so far. Camera really is the only issue so far with this game. At this moment, I can give it maybe like a 3.8 out of 5. But I would have to play more of it. And I will definitely post a review of it on the Boston Bash Brigade website. Like, as soon as I'm done playing with the game, or as soon as I'm almost done with this game.
Okay.
So, hopefully within by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, that's basically everything we've had on our list. And then some. Was there anything you wanted to talk about?
I'm doing on time.
We're only 45 minutes into the show.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did play a game this week.
Okay.
I played Carbella's 2011.
That's right. You were telling me about this. And I had seen a review of... I've seen many reviews of this. And what system did you play on?
Xbox 360.
And that's the weird part, because everyone is ripping the shit out of the Xbox 360 version. Because the Wii version, you can use it with the sensor bar. Mm. The PS3 version, the PS3 Move, you know, the Move controller and, like, the camera... Whereas this version doesn't use like, the Kinect, it just uses the light scope type of technique.
Yeah, but I mean, truthfully, I've played enough of these kind of games that it didn't bother me. So when I got into it, you know, basically it starts off and you're in the past and you have 3 men in a cave and you see all these skeletons laying around. It's like, all of a sudden, your friends get attacked by this really weird-looking creature.
Uh-huh.
And then it fast-forwards to the future.
Okay.
And you're an old man. Big, burly dude. And you're taking your two sons hunting.
You look like Grizzly Adams. Are you more the old prospector.
Well, he had an old white beard, but he was well, you know, taken care of. He didn't live out in the woods.
Okay.
But over his eye, you see the scratch coming down. You can tell he was blind in one eye.
Okay.
Because that creature got him. So you're out there, you know, you're you're the new kid to the group, you know?
Right, you're the youngest son.
So, first you kill your dad wants to make sure you shoot, so, they teach you how to use the weapon quickly. You shoot some icicles, shoot some geese. But then you have to hunt a moose, and you kill it.
Yep.
Dad's kind of proud of you, blah, blah, blah. But then, he gets attacked by a mountain lion, and you shoot the mountain lion, and it runs off, and your dad's not happy.
Why?
Your other brother's like, Dad, you saved your life. You left a wounded animal out here. You should have finished it. Because, not the whole aspect of killing, but now this thing's out there wounded, so he makes you track it.
Right.
Like, we'll go this way, and you follow blood, and you gotta kill the mountain lion. But, all in all, I didn't get to play much of it, because I only played for about an hour. But I enjoyed myself. It was a good time. The graphics were awesome.
Yeah, we'll give it to... The graphics did look really great in this game.
And it's not all about shooting, because, at one point, some deer are charging, and they actually make you have to, maneuver your way out of the way.
All right. Now, one of the complaints I did hear was how the control was set up.
Okay.
Because you have the gun.
Yep.
And but there's a stick here, and then there's another one right here. There's the D-pad right there, and then there's the control stick right here.
Didn't use the rifle.
Wait, what did you use?
I used the pad itself.
Oh, you just used the controller for it?
Yeah.
All right, so maybe that's you didn't use the actual gun itself?
No.
So that probably is it.
Maybe.
Because... That's that the gun that it comes with, while it looks good, they're saying it's just god-awful horrible.
See, I think that's where the big difference is coming. I think I enjoyed it a little bit more playing with the controller.
Than with the actual gun.
Yeah.
Because they showed people trying to play this game, and they would have to angle themselves in a specific way. Like, they would have to tilt up, and then tilt their head to the left in order to play the game properly while standing 7 feet back from the TV screen.
Yeah. No, I just played with a regular controller.
And you didn't have any issue with...
No.
Not bad.
Yeah,
Okay, out of 5, what do you give this game so far?
So far I'll give it a 4.2 out of 5. I'll get more into it when I finish the game, though.
Alright. So, yeah... Because when you and I were talking about this game, I couldn't believe it, but you didn't tell me you were playing with the brand new controller, not with the actual gun. I actually
didn't even remember that there was another thing.
Yeah. Because that's the one that people are really ripping the shit out of, is the actual gun that comes with the game.
Yeah.
Because, let's see, your brother has a game, right? Or who?
My brother.
Your brother has a game. Because what does he think of the gun that comes with the game?
He didn't buy the gun.
No, it comes with it.
You can just buy the game.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was mandatory. In order to play this game, you need to buy the gun.
No.
That's kind of good to know.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I had some fun before I went to work, so.
That's, all right. Now I fully understand where you're coming from with why you think it was, why it's a much better game. So, from your perspective,
play with the controller,
not with the gun.
Yep.
I would say for the Wii version and the PlayStation version, play with the guns because it's actually set up with the actual Wiimote or the PlayStation remote or the PlayStation Move remote, the glowy thing, the thing that looks like a giant vibrator.
Are you talking about vibrators on the show?
Well, that's what the fucking PlayStation Move controller looks like. It looks like a big, giant vibrator with a glowing ball at the end of it. Yeah.
Well, I have an oh for fuck's sake.
Okay.
Now, me as a sports fan, there's a certain amount of jabbering that goes on before a game. But I think the Jets have actually finally pushed it to the limit. You have all these players going on, TV. Oh, Tom Brady this, and... blah, 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 blah. And Rex Ryan's making comments. And now the other day, Wes Welker, he was making a comment. And you don't know if it's a true comment or not. But then Bart Scott from the Jets goes on TV. Oh, people don't talk about our coach, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, that person should watch out or else they won't be wearing their number anymore. So he basically made a threat to injure Wes Welker.
Okay.
So the NFL stepped up and are having the referees watch because that takes, you know, as a threat now.
Right. And the Jets were the ones that were got in trouble a couple of weeks ago for that assistant coach injuring the other player from the other team, right?
That coach was fired, and that was the strength and conditioning coach. He got fired, but then the special teams coordinator calls out and says, oh, the Patriots do it. Which, that's a big no-no in this league.
Yes.
You can make an accusation, but you have to be able to back it up with the league. The league investigated and proved that the accusation was false, and the team got fined $100,000.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, I think they've pushed this to the ultimate limit, and they've went further than they ever should have.
You think there's going to be a lot more regulations and trash talking soon?
They might, but tomorrow's game should be on lockdown. The referees will be watching these hard hits and stuff like this, and you might see a lot more penalties for it on both sides.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. What's your feeling on this?
Well, personally, back in the old days, you know, when we were kids, there was trash talking, but it was more playful with the trash talking.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he said this, oh, he said that, ha-ha. Then next time you see them, they're on the field, they're chuckling it up like crazy.
But now, it's like pure hate.
Yeah, it is pure hate. And they're taking it to Twitter and on their Facebook, and they're letting the whole world basically know their hatred.
Yeah.
And it's not fun anymore. Trash talking used to be an art form. Now it's just bullshit.
True.
And like, for example, take when two rappers will battle one another.
Yep.
They don't have any real beef with one another. They just want to just see who can top one another. And they will like make fun of each other throughout these battles, these freestyle battles. And then at the end, it's, hey, good show. Good game. Yeah.
But I mean, you had like a couple weeks ago. The Jets are preparing to play Indy, and Rex Ryan makes a comment. Yeah, well, you know, I'm ready for this team. Peyton Manning prepares a lot harder and everything than Tom Brady. He's like, whoa, why are you even thinking about Tom Brady? You're playing the Colts, and yet you're talking about the quarterback for another team. Which, you know, the Jets are even lucky to have made it to this game, because they kicked the last second field goal to win by 1 point.
Yes.
So, I mean, he was running his mouth before he even knew they were playing us. You know, it's one thing, you know, let's say, you know, I play for the Patriots and you play for, you know, the Jets. And I said that, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, cover, you know, the duck all day long. I'm going to make sure he don't catch nothing because, you know, he ain't got no hands. He's afraid of me. That's one thing. You know, saying you're afraid of me. Okay. But then there's another part where you go, yo, I'm going to sit there. And as soon as the ball touched the duck hands, I'm going to slam him through the ground and make sure he don't get up. Well, you know, that's not playful anymore.
Right.
You know, I know I play semi-pro ball, and I do the cage fighting. Yes. We run our mouth all day long. You know, I'm going to knock him out, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the fight, there's still a handshake and a hug.
Right.
You know, we're going to beat this team, blah, blah, blah. But you keep it to a certain level, a certain etiquette.
Right.
There's trash talk etiquette.
Yes, there is trash talk etiquette. Granted, there are some football players, there are some MMA fighters that don't follow this etiquette. True. They make it too personal, and that's what's happening.
Truth be told, I never thought I'd say trash-talking etiquette as long as I lived.
But there is a sort of trash-talking etiquette.
I know, there's, you know, where you keep it to. I mean, I understand there's pure hate sometimes.
But you know, keep that pure hate to yourself.
But in football, there shouldn't be pure hate.
Agreed. I
mean, MMA? Yeah. Because, you know, let's say you and me trained at the same gym for a long time and you go off to another gym and you start bad-mouthing my gym. Well, you know what? We used to be friends. We used to be teammates. And now you've turned your back on us and you're running your mouth about where you came from. That's why, you know, the Chuck Liddell Tito Ortiz thing was so big is they trained at the pit and Tito walked away.
Yep.
And he thought he was better than where he came from.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's just my feeling on it.
I agree with you on this because this trash talking can lead to serious injuries.
Yeah.
It could worse. It could even lead to death, man. I mean, a lot of these hard hits.
Oh yeah, especially up near the head. You know, you can break the spine.
Yeah,
cause it, you know, severe concussion, brain hemorrhage, anything.
What was that college football game we were watching where we literally saw it looked like his spinal cord had snapped?
Yeah,
you saw it in his eyes as he fell to the ground. Like his
3 years ago, I was watching an arena football game. Dude took a hit, didn't get up. And after the game, you find out that that player died.
Yeah.
And I was completely shocked. So.
Yeah.
It happens.
It does. But it doesn't happen often, but the fact that it does happen, it's sad.
It's too much.
It is.
But I'm all set with it.
All right. I think we can wrap it up now. Visit our website at BostonBashBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you have any comments and requests, anything you want to shoot out at us, it's TheBastards@BostonBashBrigade.com. We are also on MySpace, MySpace.com/BostonBashBrigade. We're on Facebook. I'm on Twitter with King_Baby_Doc. Anvil is also on there at Anvil63.
Yes, granted, I don't go on much, but I'm on there.
Yeah.
I think I've written once since I opened it, and that's to say that I wanted pepperoni pizza, and I spelt it wrong.
Yep.
Because it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. You come and show us love, go check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI.
Yep.
And, you know, while you're there, check out, you know, Geek Aggro, go show them some love.
Our buddies at Gamer Reaction, GamerReaction.TV.
I was getting there, but okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. You know, go over there, you know, Alex, Diana. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the gang.
And the rest of the gang. You know, give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Reaction. What's up?
Yep, they're going to be in Boston for PAX East, so hopefully we can do something with them while there.
And when's that?
March 11th to the 13th, Friday through Sunday. Because I know Bluonic and I are planning to go, and if you want to... I believe tickets, $35 to get in for one day, $55 for all three.
But maybe we do something after.
Maybe we can talk about this. And I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
So until next time, this is King Lady Duck.
This is Anvil.
Sing sayonara, bitches.
We are the Bastards.